Hare Krishna. I'm really getting purified in Vrindavan, and I'm now very, very happy to sit with all of you and welcome you to this day number 4 of connecting with the divine couple. Today we will have a few very interesting readings from the Brajvilas Stava, but we will also go into some more explanations of how to meditate. We will train you a little bit more so that when you leave Vrindavan, you have some tools with you which you can always use to your own, in your own Krishna consciousness, to access that deeper place within you, which can also affect your transformation. See, there are two levels of the mind, one external and one what we call the core of the mind. If you understand something on the surface of the mind, that will come and go. It will be subject to the two main functions of the mind, to accept something and then to reject it. Mental knowledge is very temporary and not useful when you have to apply it in the actual challenges of daily life. Only that type of information which you bring into the core of the mind by a spiritual experience stays with you for the rest of the life. So here at the sacred valley of Giriraj, we are trying to go into this deeper place, and we expect that all of you will be pure devotees afterwards, very quickly. This morning, when reading a little bit in Prabhupada's writings, I came upon a very important section. One moment. Yes, which I really wanted to share with you at the outset of today's seminar. Srila Prabhupada spoke about the condition of the embodied soul by saying that we are really very, very wealthy. Our wealth is Krishna consciousness. We already have it. It's not something we need to import into our lives. It's already there. But we don't use it. And he gave an example of a miserly man who has a large fortune in his possession, but who just doesn't use it because he has this miserly psychological problem that he just can't spend money. There are such people. I have two grandfathers. I mean, usually everyone has. Yes, that's normal. So my one grandfather was the owner of a big factory which assembled Ford motor cars and sold them in Europe. He was so rich. Opa Fritz. But, you know, he would never use a penny. And it was very annoying for us children that no matter what we tried, we could never get a penny out of him also. But I remember when we were doing holidays together, everyone in the family had to pay for our grandfather. and he was so rich. I mean, I don't want to, maybe, I don't know, $40 million or you know, he was really rich, really rich. So when he got sick, he was so miserly, he didn't even buy medicine. He didn't want to spend a penny on himself, and therefore he suffered very much. he suffered himself because he lived like a beggar, really. That was his lifestyle, old worn clothes, never traveling anywhere. He would be so miserly, if it was possible, he would walk on foot or go on bicycle, but not go in a car. And this was psychological. He couldn't use what he had. In the same way, the conditioned soul, due to some mayic understanding, cannot utilize what is there, his Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says, what is the psychological problem? We have no affection for Krishna. Only if you have affection for Krishna will you be Krishna conscious and will you be rich. Otherwise you are rich without ever using you are rich and you live like a beggar. When you have affection for Krishna, you are rich and live like someone who is rich in prema. Now the problem is, if we would sit down here, like some of our subtle lecturers in the past, they would say, you must love Krishna, you must love Krishna, you must love Krishna. Every one of us would go like, oh, how to do that? You know, how can I love? You know, imagine we would tell all our grihasthas who have a slight misunderstanding in their marriage, you must love your husband, you must love your husband. Then the woman would go, oh. Or, you know, or when the wife was impossible and has just burned for the 6 times deliberately the favorite cake of the man, just in order to get on his nerves, and you tell the, and the husband has exploded after the 6th time, and you tell now the husband, you must love your wife. Yes, the husband says, thank you for your very expert counseling. You know, it just doesn't work. You can't do that. Love, however, starts with giving attention. And this you can learn. You can learn to give attention to Krishna. And for that reason, we are doing these little exercises, which are only meant to bring our attention to the feet of Krishna, so that attention can give birth ultimately to this divine feeling we all aspire so urgently for, this love of Godhead. So, having explained a little bit what we do in this, I would now like to give you a practice which I have explained many times, but because there are devotees who come for the first time to this type of seminar, I will just give it very briefly again, because I will request you to do this exercise with all of us in a little moment. Srila Prabhupada used to say that Krishna consciousness starts with the real, with the understanding that we are not the body. Have you heard this? But he says, not theoretically, but practically. So I found out that to realize that you are not the body can be easily done if you learn and practice to come into a certain mindset which could be called the observer's mindset, where you observe yourself. I give this as a tip. Some of you vomit. I have heard we have 6 cases of devotees singing the ra 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 raga. I think it comes from the flies who land on the decomposed milk and then come to the food and bring a particular a germ called the ra-ra-ra germ into the food. So when you sing this raga, please observe yourself in a detached way. My body is undergoing a disease. I am not diseased. I myself am not affected by this. Or if you go into a situation where you have quarrels with someone, step back and observe. Oh, some misunderstanding is coming up between us, but I am not involved. Just always in your life, take the observer role and see that that what is happening is only happening by the interaction of the three modes of material nature. But you are neutral to this and you can observe it. Then the next step would be that you, after fixing in your mind, I am an eternal soul, I'm only a temporary guest in this material body and in this world, then observe what is coming before you by the current of your life and your karma, and don't react to it immediately. Just observe it and stay in a detached and neutral position. That will help you to practically understand how you are the soul. And finally, go into the kingdom of bhakti by meditating. Behind everything which moves is Krishna's wonderful force and strength. Krishna brought this thing into my life. So, observe. When you meditate, it's very important that you become an observer. What you do is you step out of the mind which only reacts, but you are really watching. And I want to do this now with you in regards to a nice Vrindavan meditation. Chitra is getting her flute ready most properly. I would like you to just sit without closing your eyes in the beginning and just look a little bit around and observe and study your environment. I think you should look at nature and not so much as at people, because when we look at in people's eyes, a communication starts and a silent non-verbal communication. Just look, turn please towards this side, towards Giriraj and the Gopinath's garden. Just observe, look a little around, see, observe first of all through your eyes. Do you see the butterfly in the distance? He's now down. Hope he comes up again. Do you see the bird there going from right to left? See that other? Oh, it's only a crow. Now observe through your ears. That gets a little bit more interesting. There are the loudest singers, the crows. What else can we hear? Now slowly, as you look into the landscape of Vrindavan, observe your breath. And now, from this place where you are now, a very peaceful place, strangely alert to what is going on around you, but also detached. Listen to this wonderful meditation on Vrindavan. And as you listen, try to see by the process of remembering and associating what is said in this verse. I worship that most sublime abode, Sri Vrindavan, which is saturated with the sweet aroma emanating from the lotus feet of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Krishna. In Sri Vrindavan, Sri Sri Radha Krishna enjoy wonderful conjugal pastimes in the company of the gopis, headed by Lalita. These gopis are very expert in the art of speaking, joking, and smiling. In Vrindavan, Sri Sri Radha Krishna relish transcendental pastimes day and night in the caves of the mountains and also in the groves, which are decorated with creepers, bushes, and leaves. I offer my obeisances at the lotus feet of all those who live in Braj. And I offer my obeisances to the abode of Braj. For I have become overwhelmed by a drop of remembrance of the ocean of their transcendental sweetness. By the mercy of those who reside in Braj, I desire to attain the darshan of my most worshipable Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Thank you very, very much. Kindly turn. I don't want to say turn to me. This sounds after you've turned to Govardhan. Now turn to me. This is almost cruel to say such a thing. In the last verse, we have heard that those who reside in Vrindavan can connect us with Radha and Krishna. Now, here is, I want to introduce to you someone very, very special who lives in a grass hut at the bank of the Yamuna and is really the orchestrator of everything in Vrindavan. Just like Maya organizes and controls the material world, Yoga Maya organizes and directs the spiritual world. And Yoga Maya's name is Purnamasi. Purnamasi is dressed in white cloth, her complexion is golden, and she has white hair. I often think her hair must look like Jagatarini's hair. She has white hair, just like a kasha flower. And her body is a little tall. So I would like to request you, please open your book on text 25, where we find a mantra and a meditation on Purnamasi Devi, and then we will hear a little bit how to take shelter. We will learn a prayer to Yoga Maya, which is very powerful, and in this way go deep. Guram tatsu vidadata chitasaki dvaranayanti tayo. Guram tatsu vidadata gachitasaki dvaranayanti tayo. Premna shushtu vidaktayo anudinam manabisaratsavam. Premna shushtu vidaktayo anudinam manabisaratsavam. Rara madavayo sukam ritarasam jaivo papukte muhur. Rara madavayo sukam ritarasam yava pabongte muhu. Goshte bhavya vidaya nim bhagavatim tam punamasim bhaje. Goshte bhavya vidaya nim bhagavatim tam punamasim bhaje. Oh, I worship the goddess Purnamasi Devi, who repeatedly relishes the ocean of nectar produced from her daily service of confidentially nourishing Shri Radha Krishna's pastimes of secret meetings and loving quarrels. With the help of the most expert and experienced gopis like Lalita, she is the eternal benefactor of the abode of Braja. In the Radha Krishna Ganodesha Deepika, Purnamasi is described like this. Purnamasi brings about all perfection in the pastimes because she is Yoga Maya, that means she can arrange the impossible. One little pastime comes to mind, that Krishna was sitting together with Srimati Radharani right in her house in Yavat on this beautiful sofa, and they were talking very confidentially with each other and really explaining their hearts to each other, when all of a sudden Jatila caught a scent of Krishna's fragrance coming from the room and going to the outside, and she became totally alarmed and with loud words cursing the infidelity of her daughter-in-law, she broke into that door and into this room. Now Krishna had heard her coming, and he had quickly become invisible. There was only Radha sitting. But everything had to go so fast that Krishna forgot his flute. And that was unmistakably his flute. It was bedecked with rubies. No cowherd man or boy had such a flute, only Krishna. It was known all over Braj. This is the flute of Krishna. So Jatila came in. She expected to see Krishna, but his flute was just as good for what she had in mind. She just grabbed the flute. Oops. Here I have the corpus delicti. Yeah. That's a Latin word. You know, when the police inspector found the perpetrators, shawl or knife or anything on the place where the crime has been committed, then by this he can easily get, through fingerprints and everything else, the perpetrator. So Jatila said, Krishna was here. The proof is his flute. Radha went like, oh. Now, this is the end of my relationship. I will be put into a prison, which is even stronger than the present prison house of my in-laws. Everything is gone. Everything is over. Everything is gone with the wind of Jatila's anger. So, at this moment, a white-haired lady with a golden complexion, like a kasha flower, and she's a little tall, steps in smilingly and says, Jatila, you are very excited. I can see. Jatila goes, Oh, Poonamasi! My daughter-in-law is married, but she is secretly with that prince of the cheetahs, with Krishna. And today, finally, I tried so much, but today I finally have caught them red-handed. Here, that cheetah could just by his magic tricks leave the room in some ways which is unknown to me, but he couldn't take his flute with him. Here it is. And she stormed out into the marketplace and said, people of Braj, good-hearted people, come together and just see what has happened. Krishna is together with Radha. Since long time, this time I could capture him almost. I captured his flute. Radha cries. All the people come together, look at the flute, and yes, that's Krishna's flute. And what is Krishna's flute doing in the room of a married woman? So everyone is starting to wonder what is going on. And then Poonamasi majestatically moves to that meeting and says, Oh, people of Braj, you have not yet understood the beautiful, mysterious nature of the forest of Vrindavan. Yesterday in the night, there was a flute rain in Vrindavan. And by the power of this flute rain, one flute like this has rained on all the beds of the ladies in Vrindavan. Just look at your beds. A flute rain? Very, very unusual rain. I mean, the people of Braj knew the monsoon rain. They knew most properly the rain of milk which comes from the udders of the affectionate cows. I don't know, there's also a monkey rain sometimes when they are in the trees and you sit under the trees, you can experience. But there was just a monkey for those who hear tapes who just got ready to make his flute rain over me. But we detected him and drove him away. So these types of rains are available. But a flute rain? They really... oh no, this is too big. Radhe. Anyways... I'm not sitting there. So, a flute rain, that's something unknown. So they all went into their rooms, and lo and behold, on the beds of all the ladies of Braj, there was a beautiful Anandini flute. So they were glorifying Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Vrindavan Dham. You know, they did not know that this was Purnamasi's magical arrangement. Purnamasi makes such magical arrangements daily. It says here, the goddess Purnamasi, who repeatedly relishes the ocean of nectar produced from her daily service of confidentially nourishing Sri Sri Radha Krishna's pastimes of secret meetings and also sometimes loving quarrels. No? The king of Braj and all the Brajavasis respect her greatly. It's described that at the beginning of Krishna's pastimes, just when he had born, Purnamasi came to Braj bringing two extraordinary children with her. These were Nandimukhi, her granddaughter, and Madhumangal, her grandson, the son of her son Sandipani Muni. Devashi Narada is the teacher of Purnamasi, and he was the one who told Purnamasi, "Oh, my dear disciple, it's time to leave now Avantipuri, where you live together with your son Sandipani Muni, and go to Braj, where your beloved Lord Krishna has appeared." So imagine how happy the Brajbasis were when they saw this tall, elderly lady with white hair approaching with two little restless children, Madhumangal, who has a big head and a big neck, and Nandimukhi, very beautiful, who were just eager to assist in the help in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. The Brajbasis were so happy. They said, "Purnamasi, no, who are you?" And she said, "Purnamasi." That was a little long for the Brajbasi, so they called her Punima. They wanted to build immediately a palace for her, but Purnamasi said, "No, I want to live an ascetic life at the banks of the Jamuna." So they, on her request, they built her a very fine grass hut. If you want to find Purnamasi, you must look somewhere at the bank of the Yamuna on the Vrindavan side. So this Purnamasi, as I was earlier saying, also makes an arrangement for us conditioned souls to meet Krishna. Purnamasi is not only active in the spiritual realm, she is coming helping those who are here in this world trying to become Krishna conscious. This is very important. Of all those who are, Brajavasis, Purnamasi belongs to that category of Brajavasis, that is residents of Vrindavan, who commutes very much to the material world and helps the sadhakas here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a prayer to Yogamaya. Would you like to hear this prayer? Kula Devi Yogamaya Mori Kripa Kori Avarana Sambari Bekabi Vishvadori Edasi Janani Kori Aikatvata Doya Brindavana Dehastane Tumi Yogamaya. O Yogamaya! Can we have Krishna's flute for this? Mm-hmm. O Yogamaya, when will you show mercy to me by lifting up the curtain of illusion with which you shroud the universe in your external form of Mahamaya? You are known as Kula Devi, the traditional worshipable goddess of all the Vaishnava dynasties. My dear devotees, we have experienced so much pain from Mahamaya. Do you know that she does all this as an external form of Yogamaya? When Mahamaya, in other words, sees you becoming serious, although it is sometimes so difficult, although you are sometimes desperate, although you may sometimes be so bewildered, but if Mahamaya sees you, that in those moments you turn to Krishna, all of a sudden she turns around and becomes the smiling face of Yogamaya. And then you will say, "Oh my dear mother, please show your causeless mercy to this servant. Give me a place in Vrindavan, for you are Yogamaya herself, the internal energy of yoga or union." My dear devotees, what I would like to bring your attention to is that all these struggles, all these, temptations, all these physical and mental and problems which we all undergo day by day as we turn older and notice we can't become pure devotees overnight, are only an aspect of a divine personality preparing us to come to a turning point. A turning point where we sincerely turn to Krishna. And at that time, Mahamaya, Prabhupada would say, would bring a garland around us. "Here, Krishna Priya, you've done it." And we would see that it was not against our interest, it was with our interest. But we have to arrive at the turning point where we take shelter in Krishna, and then the same energy will work in our favor. You will see how all of a sudden circumstances will be arranged for you. You will meet people who understand you for the first time in your life and cooperate with you instead of being either neutral or in the distance and so on. Everything seems to enter into a flow, but not a flow of your karma, a flow of Yogamaya's arrangement, which will bring you very quickly to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this Yogamaya is a very, very wonderful personality, a very deep personality, who is very merciful to the attempts of the devotees. Have you ever seen Tibetan dances? There are these, they have the same concepts. They have a goddess who looks really fearful, and while dancing, I think in springtime, she jumps at the audience and everyone goes like, "Aah!" and is afraid. And then after some time, she just turns around, shoop, and has a friendly face. Have you seen? In Tibetan culture, this is also an understanding that something which is outwardly dangerous can turn around and become very much in our own interest. So, for the remainder of our thing, I have a very nice little section which I want to present to you. I was talking about personalities who help us, Vrajavasis who help us. And I spoke about three personalities who are very much inclined to help the devotees. Yamunamayi is one, Purnamasi is the second, and Brinda Devi is the third. We won't hear in this seminar about Brinda Devi. But there are other Vrajavasis, and they are really the prototype of Vrajavasis who are helping us. And these are the Vrajavasis who the Goswamis, who work here in this world as sadhakas and give the example of making a sadhan, and then in the other world they are serving Radha and Krishna in their spiritual forms, in their siddhadeyas. The path of attraction is that you learn from the these double personalities. You learn the way of sadhana which they do in this world, and as you follow in their footsteps, you will more and more feel how in your heart you become attracted to what they do in the other world, the spiritual world. It's almost like getting to know someone. When I know Gaurahari a little bit, I know maybe that he likes to chant and play harmonium. But as I get to know him more, I know that he likes to cook a very particular preparation. It's red beets with dates. That's one of Gaurahari's secrets. So if you know one of these, the same principle is there. If you follow Rupa Goswami and Raghunathas Goswami, you get to know them as their sadhaka first, and then the secrets of their spiritual identities become revealed to you, and you also follow that. So here in text 103, please jump forward in your book, we see a beautiful scene where the author describes something which he does in his sadhaka rupa. Brahman kache kache kshiti darapate vikrima gate. Oh, that's the wrong verse. Let me read that. Brahman kache kache kshiti darapate vikrima gate. Man kache kache kshiti darapate vikrima gate. Lapan Raja Krishnet Yana Varatarang Unmatavadaham. Lapan Raja Krishnet Yana Varatarang Unmatavadaham. Patan Kvapi Kvapi Uchalita Nayana Dvandva Salilai. Patan Kvapi Kvapi Uchalita Nayana Dvandva Shalilai. Kada Kelistanam Sakalam Api Sinchami Vikalaha. A very wonderful picture will arise. Raghunathas Goswami is on Govardhan Parikrama. And he weeps and cries and loudly exclaims, O Radhe, O Krishna. Here's the text. Imagine you meet him. You are doing your Govardhan Parikrama, and then before you, you see a very tender limbed personality. He's emaciated, has a white barber dress, and although he is so thin, so much of spiritual majesty emanates from him, and you become moved as you slowly overtake him and look into his face, which is full with tears. So here the author describes himself on Govardhan Parikrama. Alas! When will I always chant, O Radhe!
O Radhe!
O Krishna! Like a madman. And when will I wander about the foot of Govardhan Hill? When will I soak with my tears of ecstatic love the places of Sri Sri Radha Krishna's transcendental pastimes? As I travel throughout Braj, being afflicted by intense separation from them. My dear devotees, this is how to spend your time in Vrindavan. Follow Raghunath Das Goswami. Follow all the Goswamis who were chanting loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, Hey Radhe!
Hey Radhe!
Braja Devike!
Radhe!
Chalalite!
Radhe!
Hey Nanda Suno Kuta!
Hey Nanda Suno Kuta!
Where are you?
Queen of Vrindavan!
Radharani!
Where are you?
O son of Nanda! This is the mood which the Goswamis had. They ran to the Govardhan Hill and said, Are you there? They ran to the trees on the bank of the Yamuna. Are you there? This type of prayer, going through Vrindavan and praying for the divine personalities, is ultimately explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. If you would like to read this in your own time, it's in the second part, chapter 5, texts 242 to 243. The text informs us there what happens in Gokula. There in Gokula, the pure devotees always feel humility and pure love for the Lord. In that mood, they see the forests, rivers, and hills as if they would be an empty wilderness. Those devotees, their mouths filled with cries of lamentations and their hearts burning in absolute grief, are always searching for their beloved. That is the benefit when we are in Vrindavan. We look at Giriraj and we see that there are these stones which are like perfect stone benches. Have you seen them? They are very flat and parallel to the ground. They are really good resting places. And you have heard in the Shastras that Radha and Krishna are sitting on these stone benches supplied by Giriraj, but you don't see them. So then you should feel, where are you? We are hearing you are there,
But you are not, I can't see you.
A Gop Kumar, that is the soul who goes from the material to the spiritual world, followed different teachers, and one of the teachers taught him this sadhana, to go to Vrindavan and just ask this question, where are you, Krishna? It's a sadhana, my dear devotees. It's something which should be done. And you do that by singing his holy names. Gop Kumar says in his own language, it comes in the 6th chapter, text 1 to 4, in the second part, 6th chapter 1 to 4. I followed Narada's instructions. I went to Vrindavan, and here in Braj, I went to see the many places of Krishna's pastimes. Then he says what he did. Krishna Priya Prabhu, listen to what he did. Gop Kumar, what he did in Braj. You just entered a deepest form of samadhi, and here is the text. I sang his names most dear to me. I sang about his pastimes loudly and sweetly. I focused my mind upon them, and I attained such a state of ecstasy and became so emotional. In Yugoslavian you would say male emotionalni, that it embarrasses me even to think of it. How then can I describe this to anyone else? Isn't it that sometimes in Braj, when you do a kirtan and you sing the names which are most dear to Krishna, you become, something just comes into your heart. We had this in the Java retreat. One evening, I looked around and half of the audience was just crying. But not just a little bit, but really, really crying. And I was thinking, first my reaction was, well, am I singing so wrong? I know that I sing terribly wrong sometimes and miss the right notes, but half of the audience cries? That was a little bit... Then I looked a second time, and they cried, being totally overwhelmed by emotions. This is what Gop Kumar says happens when you do the sadhana, that is, when you go to the pastimes places of Krishna's pastimes and sing his names, which are most dear, and sing about the pastimes. He said, I focused my mind on this, and I attained such a state of ecstasy. In New York language, you would say, boy, I lost it. I attained such a state of ecstasy and became so emotional that it embarrasses me even to think of it. How then can I describe this to anyone else? This is the power of Vrindavan. When you come to Vrindavan, don't go to Loi Bazaar, that is the place where merchandise talk is done. Go to good places of Krishna's Leelas, sit down. Sometimes you might have to have a monkey stick next to you. Sit down and sing the holy names which are so dear to Krishna. And as a result, you will see how Lord Krishna, who's always very close the moment a devotee sings his holy name, comes more into the presence. And the way a conditioned soul feels the presence of Krishna is not through the eyes. You feel it through the heart. You become, your heart becomes moved with some good spiritual emotions. You become emotional.
Gop Kumar continues his authentic Vrindavan experience report. He says, I spent my days and nights in great distress. I was always crying in a pitiful voice, not knowing whether the practice I had so long been following would lead me to happiness or cast me into an ocean of distress. See, he was bewildered. He couldn't really understand what was going on in his heart. He must have thought, well, I thought I'm become happy, but now I'm crying. Is this normal? And this is very much like the experience which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had when he chanted and went to his exalted spiritual master Ishvara Puri. He said, what mantra have you given to me? What type of mantra is this? I'm sometimes dancing. The next moment I'm crying bitter tears of lamentation. Have I become Pagal? Pagal means crazy. Is this a powerful, tantric, I make you crazy mantra? Or is this normal? And Ishvara Puri, the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, answered with great satisfaction. He said, my dear child, this is desired. You have experienced love of God. This is the taste of it. So he describes, I could not tell whether I was living in the flames of a forest fire or was I living in the supreme nectar of the clear, cool waters of Sri Jamuna. My dear devotees, here we come into the language of analogies. Analogies are given when you have to explain something which is otherwise not explainable. Let me give you an example. When you want to show a child where the moon is, you will say, look between the second and the third branch and you will see the moon moving. The child looks there and sees some movement of the moon. Of course, the moon is not really moving between the second and the third branch of a tree, but by giving such a help to a child, the child can see something which is even for astronomers very difficult to perceive, that is the movement of the moon. It moves just very slowly, but by the help of a tree you can see the movements of the moon. By going to something which is known, you can make known the unknown. So when we speak of love of Krishna, it's different from love of a man to a woman. Therefore here some very interesting words are given, an analogy which says it's like misery and the supreme bliss together. It is described when Krishna sees how his devotees get into these wonderful moods of Krishna consciousness, he himself becomes struck with wonder. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, you hear, Bhaktera Prema Vika Deki Krishna Rachamatka Krishna Jarana Paya Anta Keba Chara. Even Lord Krishna is struck with wonder at seeing the transformation of ecstasy in his devotees. If Krishna himself cannot estimate the limits of such emotions, how could others ever do? So, I want to bring it a little practical. Raghunath Das Goswami teaches us here a sadhana which will bring us quickly into the world of spiritual emotions. It has two elements, the sadhana, Vrindavan, and singing the holy names at the Lila Stanas of Vrindavan. And if you do that, it's very simple. Chant the holy names in those places where Krishna performed his pastimes. Some first class ecstasy will enter your heart. Prabhupada writes about this. He says about contemporary Vrindavan life, there are still many devotees of the Lord lingering in Vrindavan in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. And then he says something very interesting. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land. But, please listen very carefully and fight Brother Sleep, who might come up your back at this moment. Wake up, in other words. It's not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land. They don't see him with the eyes. But a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. And then Prabhupada says, how this is so cannot be explained. I'm sorry, he says in his purpose, can't explain it. But it is factually realized by those who are devotees of the Lord. Philosophically one can understand, now he says, this is how Prabhupada is. Prabhupada will never leave a reader with the statement, I can't explain this to you, sorry, this is not for you, it's too high. He will now try to explain it philosophically. He just can't resist to make an attempt. So now switch on your brain, because we go now to philosophy. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane. No? Like Krishna and his name is on the absolute and not different, Krishna and the thought of Krishna are also on the absolute plane and non-different. And that the very idea, one can understand this, of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. My dear devotees, don't try to see Krishna through your eyes. Will not work. When Krishna appears, he will appear through, the eyes which are smeared with bhakti. In other words, the bhakti eyes. I would like to end my presentation with a little wonderful meditation. It's a little bit heart-like. It comes from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We have heard, when you go to Vrindavan and you go to Krishna's holy places and you sing there Krishna's pastimes, you will feel some good, or you sing there Krishna's name, Krishna will put some good emotions in your heart. And we will try to do this now. Maybe something will come. Maybe not. One cannot demand these gifts. Huh? So, Hare Krishna, let us see. We are now at the foot of Giriraj. This is a pastime place. And we will sing the holy name and then we will meditate. Okay? Or we will listen to a text, huh? Shrutekshita. We will see through the eyes of hearing. The melody from yesterday. Na Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan,
when we hear about the love of Krishna for his devotees, our heart will be awakened to eagerness to meet such a perfect Lord one day. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is this scene where Gop Kumar has just arrived and enters Vrindavan, and there's a words of Krishna to him. The time is Krishna's return. Krishna and Gop Kumar recognize each other, and Krishna is in such ecstasy that he loses consciousness upon embracing. Balaram has to awaken him and brushing the dust from his limbs, as the Lord of love is overwhelmed to again receive his devotee who has returned to him. So Krishna begins to speak, and please hear these loving words of the Lord receiving the soul. Why did you stay away so long? Why did you stay away from home for such a long time? How was that possible for you? How could you bear the separation from me? You left me and stayed away from me life after lifetime. Yes, I know.
that you suffered many hardships. I know you had to overcome obstacles to return to me. I know you searched for me everywhere. You became a beggar. You moved from house to house. Many mistreated you and laughed at you. You cried many tears for me. I know that. But why did you stay away so long? All this time I was close by. Now, finally, your journey has ended. Welcome. Welcome here. It is my good fortune that you have remembered me. By my good fortune, I have seen you again after such a long time. My dear devotee, I must tell this from my heart. I am totally under your control. Please feel free to enjoy here as you like. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Giri Govada, Giri Govada, Jaya Giri Govada, Jaya Giri Govada. Jaya
My dear devotees, today we read text 103 or saw a beautiful picture, Raghunath Das Goswami on Govardhan Parikrama, walking in this area, chanting like a madman and soaking the dust of Braj with his loving tears. O Radhe, O Krishna. What a wonderful image. Ultimately, that is the point. Krishna consciousness is so absolutely simple. If you know in which currency you have to get your wealth here. It's in the currency of eagerness. Prabhupada, he just opened his heart in one lecture, which I think you will appreciate. It's just a few sentences of this. What is the price? Lolyam, eagerness. That is the price. That is the only qualification. You must be very eager to see the lotus feet of Krishna in this very life. You must be very eager to talk with Krishna in this very life. By service, this is how you express your eagerness, by service. You must always find some opportunity to render some service to Krishna. It really doesn't matter what you are. Krishna talks with the devotee, but not with the non-devotee. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, this eagerness for service can be acquired by anyone simply by sincerity.